Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we're going to continue our discussion about the times that our Lord Jesus used the phrase, I am. In our previous lesson, we show how he used that phrase to emphasize his deity, and also to emphasize that he is the bread of life. Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that fathereth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And similarly, he said in John 9 and verse 5, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In John 12 and verse 46, he is quoted, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Now the word light, of course, is the opposite of darkness. And the word light and the word darkness, they are used to contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, where the Apostle Peter was describing the people of God, he said this, We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friend, the word light shows that we have been called out of the sinful world. John says in 1 John 5 in verse 19, The whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, that doesn't mean that we are so much better than everybody else in the conduct of our affairs, though we should be. But he is simply showing that the world is in sin. Paul said of the Colossian brethren in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that you've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. John the Baptist, of course, he was the forerunner of Christ. He announced the coming of Christ. He called Christ the light. In John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. He that was the true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No, Christ is that light. Now, we know that people are in the darkness of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 9, And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you realize, friend, that our Lord, while here on this earth, had great enemies? And one of the primary reasons that they hated him was because he rebuked their sins. They were in darkness, and they preferred the darkness rather than the light of truth and the light of righteousness that Jesus Christ brought. Let's understand, Christ is man's illumination, if you please. When Christ is in our heart, when Christ is in our life, the darkness of sin is driven out. We are to have no communion with the works of darkness, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And to obtain this illumination, Christ must be obeyed. He must be followed according to his will. And if we walk in that light, the result will be eternal life. Now, it's noteworthy in John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It's so sad that so many people have driven the light of the world out of their lives and they live in darkness. But Jesus said of his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, if he is the light of the world, in what sense are we, who are his disciples, the light of the world? Christians are lights in the sinful world because we are to reflect the brilliance of the light of the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus admonished his people to let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul told the brethren in Ephesians 5, verse 8, "Ye are light in the world." And he went on to say, "to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." No, Jesus, in saying he was the light of the world, is showing us the guidance that he gives to us that can lead us into the eternal joys of heaven. Now, in the 10th chapter of the book of John, Jesus used the phrase, "I am," on two occasions when he was giving that parable about the shepherd and the sheepfold. Now, in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, in fact, all the way through verse 18, Jesus is teaching about something with which the people of Palestine were familiar, and that is the shepherd and his sheep. And he said, "I am the door of the sheepfold." Now, this was the place of security. This was the place of safety. And he is simply showing he has the authority to let in and to let out. He is the authority of that sheepfold. Now, in chapter 9, there is an account of a man born blind. And he received his sight at the hand of the Lord, and thus he became a believer in the Lord. Of course, the enemies tried to negate that miracle, but they could not because the man could see. Now, the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he would be to expel and put out of the synagogue. And this man, of course, was cast out because of his faith in Christ. But he declares himself the door. Jesus shows he has the authority, and these people had assumed authority by casting this man out, an authority that they really did not have. Jesus is the passageway into favor with God. Jesus is the one through whom we go in and out for our guidance. Jesus is the one who is the door of the sheepfold. And he states further this same sentiment in John 14, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, there are several points that our Lord makes from saying he's the door of the sheepfold. One is, he's the only and the sole avenue to God's favor. Now, that's what Peter preached, recorded in Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other." Cannot you see what this does to every other religion, to every other faith, to churches that are not established by Jesus Christ? Through him, protection is given to his sheep. There's liberty. There's sustenance. There's the things that are necessary for their existence in their life. Others who would presume to admit or to include others on a basis other than the basis of the doctrine of Christ, why, they are assuming an authority that they simply do not have. Now, there are not many ways to go into this sheepfold. There are just simply not many ways to be saved. We be saved God's way, or we won't be saved at all. And Jesus is the door into that sheepfold. In fact, he is the only door. You see, by the uses of these phrases, "I am," Jesus is showing who he is. He is the eternal one. He is the bread of life. He is the light that guides men through this life toward heaven. He is the door through which men must pass in order to enter the safety of the sheepfold of God. No wonder that these Greeks came, "Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, cannot we see Jesus when he uses this phrase, I am, in the fashion that he does? Now let us continue to look here in John chapter 10 for just a moment. We may not be able to complete this thought today, but we will in our next lesson. Here in John chapter 10, where he is talking about the fold, the sheepfold and the shepherd. Jesus said, where he said, I am the door, he also said, I am the good shepherd. Now, he indicates, doesn't he, that there are different kinds of shepherds. In fact, he talks about those who are hirelings, those who simply are hired to look after the sheep. They don't own the sheep. The sheep are not his. And therefore, his motive for watching over the sheep is his own welfare. He is not primarily concerned for the sheep. But the good shepherd is the one whose first concern is for the welfare of his sheep. One who, if necessary, will lay down his life for his sheep, and he does this willingly. And friend, this is what the Lord Jesus has done for his sheep. He laid down his life on the cross for the welfare, not for himself, to be sure, but for the sheep. His concern is not like that of a hireling. And this shepherd provides for his sheep the nourishment that they need, the protection they need, the guidance they need. And if one becomes lost, what does he do? He seeks the recovery of the one that is lost. Now, this is the kind of shepherd that the Lord Jesus proved to be. For the spiritual well-being of man, he gave his life on the cross. It was Jesus who taught, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And friend, the Lord laid down his life for us even while we were yet enemies, we were in sin, Romans chapter 5. Here is the concern that the shepherd has for his sheep. And the sheep, of course, they know their shepherd. A good shepherd knows his sheep, and he is known by them. What an intimate personal concern and relationship that exists between Christ and his sheep. And please take note, there is one fold. There are not many folds. You don't choose the fold of your choice. There is but one fold, just as surely there is but one shepherd. And in verse 16, Jesus points out, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he was talking to Jewish people. There is one fold, and there would be the time when the Gentiles would also be included, and both Jew and Gentile on the same terms would go through the door of the sheepfold, which is Christ, and he would be the shepherd of them both. There is but one fold, and you don't choose the fold of your choice. Jesus continues to use this phrase, I am, and in doing so, he shows to us who he is, what we need, how dependent we are upon him. Well, what have we learned thus far? Well, he is the eternal one. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the good shepherd. He is the door of the sheepfold. He says, I am all these things. And he says, I am, several other times in his teaching. And we'll look at those times as we turn in our third lesson about I am. We hope that you were listening attentively, that you will search the scriptures to see that the things we're saying are so. Don't take man's ideas. Learn from the scripture what is right and what is wrong, for therein you have life through Christ. Well, thank you for listening to A Burning Fire today. This is A Burning Fire. And until next time, we hope that you will fear God and keep his commandments. After all, that's the whole duty of man.